1,600 minutes, and I can't even say this well, I don't think, 2,083,536,000 seconds. Now that sounds quite a lot more. And you can look it up, even adding on leap years and everything, to see how long you've been here. And it's just been on my heart. How many of those days do I remember? Obviously not at the beginning, but how many days do I remember? How many days have I frittered away? How many seconds and moments have I frittered away? And the reason I started to think about this, I might look a tidy person, but I'm one of those people who, my house might look tidy, but I do not have tidy drawers and cupboards, as my grandchildren, Hannah, she sorted out my cupboard for me, my craft cupboard, a few times. And there are people, aren't there, whose house isn't particularly tidy, but their cupboards are incredibly tidy, and they have photograph albums. Well, I just have drawers with photographs in them. And I was looking through some of these photographs, and when you look at a photograph, it reminds you, doesn't it, of something that happened. I even have photographs of David with hair that I didn't actually recognise, and all of us with our fizzy, frizzy hair and everything that we used to have. So they're remembrances, aren't they, of actual things that happened. And then I found out my old Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which has got mildew on it and is falling to pieces. I've used lots more Bibles. I've never found a Bible that I actually loved actually as much as this one. It's a strange thing. It's the actual, this one is. And partly it's because when I first had the, in fact, when I was growing up as a teenager, we all had the Jerusalem Bible. And actually, Jan isn't here today, but I couldn't actually find it today, but I found it before. I have references and notes in there that astound me, that I can't remember that ever blessed me so much, looking back at the time. And this is the time, this Bible, when God opened the Word of God to me, actually. That's why it's so precious and so thumbed. And the Word of God was always precious, but when I got this and I started to really delve into it, and God opened the Word to me, and it became like my food, I have to say, so precious to me that I couldn't stay out of it. I'd like that again. There are seasons in God, aren't there? But it's thumbed and it's noted. And so when I read this back, I remember things that happened in my life. And we all have things that happen in our lives, don't we? I remember my school, which I hated, senior school. I remember our youth group, which was great. I remember obviously having my children, marriage, and all of these things that make up our lives. I have huge waymarks in my life. It talks about waymarks, doesn't it, in Jeremiah 31. Huge waymarks in my life, signposts that I've posted there, of different experiences that I went through with the Lord. And I could tell you often, more than I could tell you about natural things, where I was and what I was doing at a particular time. And one that always springs to mind is when I had a really difficult time and God brought the scripture, "Sin shall no more have dominion over you," to me. And I could tell you where I was in the room and what I was doing. And there's many other things like this. And sometimes these waymarks are times when we worship before the Lord because there's new revelation. Sometimes it's when we just get down before the Lord and say, actually, Lord, everything within me feels like giving up, but I'm going to continue because I love you. There are all sorts of reasons that we make these waymarks. And sometimes I think they're not just for us, are they? They're actually signposts that other people can follow after us. And Rich preached a long, long, long time ago, and the only reason I remembered it so much is because our dear brother Murray often used to talk about it. And Rich preached on the fact that in our life, if our life was all sunshine, it would be a desert, wouldn't it? You'd quite like it to be a lot more sunshine. And he preached on the fact that a plain piece of paper can't stand on its own, but a folded piece of paper, which I've had squashed now, which isn't going to, will stand. There's strength in a folded piece of paper. And sometimes this folded piece of paper represents all the highs and the lows of different things that have happened in our life. Sometimes there seems to be, in a year, particular lows, And sometimes there are particular highs. But I have to say, when I look back on my life, for me, there are so many more highs than there ever are lows. And the highs in God more than compensate for all the lows and all the difficulties, because God is ever present in times of trouble. He's an ever present, faithful God. So what about this year that's just gone? How has that been for you? Many years ago, I was at church actually with Ben and Nikki when they were in Winchester. And a young girl stood up, and I'm quite cynical really, and she started this prophetic word, and she said sometimes, and it made me think of Forrest Gump, I think. She said, sometimes your life feels like a bag of pick and mix. You put your hand in and you never know what a day is going to actually bring out. But then she went on, and I felt very condemned because it was actually a very, very serious, very precious prophetic word. But sometimes we feel like that about our lives, don't we? Sometimes it's a sweet we love and we think this is a wonderful day. Sometimes it's something that's hard to bear that we don't like. And sometimes that's what our life can feel like. Well, what's brought me incredible joy is I've just been walking through the Word of God with some of the men and women of God. And sometimes my pet hate is when people say, if you go to the story of Job, because like, these aren't stories. This book is full of the lives of men and women who got up every day, had their breakfast, lived their lives, went through trials and temptations and difficulties, but proved God and saw God move in wonderful ways. And I just want to talk, just a little tiny weeny pot. In fact, when I did it, I sat there for hours and thought, oh, you better bring your armchairs and your coffee and everything, because it's once you actually get into some of their lives, do you know, they're such a blessing. And the wonder is that they're portrayed warts and all, aren't they? Yes. Just exact. We like to hide all of our warts and just show our great side, but these men and women are portrayed just as they are. And you know, one of my favourite characters is Noah. It's in Genesis 6. You can look it up later. You know, one day, God saw the wickedness of the world and he came and he had a talk to Noah because he saw that Noah was a righteous man. And he told Noah what he wanted him to do. And Noah got up and he did it. And he did it, and he did it every single day for 120 years. He did it when everyone thought, wow, this is amazing. And he did it on days when everybody thought, what is this ridiculous man doing? And he did it on every day. And do you not think sometimes when he got up and he went out to build this ark, he thought, what on earth is happening? How can this thing, he never even seen rain. He didn't know what was going to happen. He just knew that God had promised something for him. But every day, no different than us, this man got up, he washed, he changed his clothes, he went about his business, despite all the things going on. And actually, is that any different than us? And has God spoken to you about something? And every day you wake up and you think, maybe at the beginning it was really exciting. It was really great and what God was going to do and it was going to be amazing. But after all these years, you think, actually, do you know what, Lord? Is it ever going to come to pass? What am I doing still believing this? But there came a day, a sad day actually, because God was judging the world. But there came a day when Noah saw it happen. And I wonder what he felt like when he saw all those animals coming in two by two. And I wonder what he felt like when there were drops of rain. And I wonder what the people felt like when the door closed. And it says that God closed the door. I wonder what they felt like. And this was a real man. And I thought, all the questions I want to ask Noah one day. You know, sometimes we read these things, but actually that man really lived out this life of faith, actually incredible faith. And what about Abraham in Genesis? Abraham was living in an incredible city, Ur of the Chaldees. If you look it up, the Ziggurat of Ur and everything, it was a very civilized place. And one day, God came to him and promised him, he said to him, get out of this country, away from your kindred and from your father's house, which took him a little while to do, unto a land which I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and in all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. What an incredible thing to hear. But you know, Abraham had to get up and go. He actually had to get up and go. And often in the scriptures, I don't know if you're like me, I wonder if there were other people that God called who said, no, I'm not going. We read about all of these men who did go and they did do these things, but I wonder how many there were that said, actually, no, I don't want to go, and we never hear about them. And yet he didn't know when he got up to go what his life was going to be like. He went and he was faithful and he did what God asked him to do. He had no idea that he would wait so long for Isaac, did he? That he actually gave up hope. He gave it up. He didn't know that he would have an Ishmael, and what a sad day in a way that that was when he had an Ishmael. How different what the world would have been if he'd waited for God's word, but we know that he didn't. He didn't know that one day this precious child that he was going to have, he was going to take and God was going to say, I want you to sacrifice him. And he was going to go with true intent to do that. Well, you know what you think about your children and your grandchildren. He actually did that. He had the wood on his back and he went and he was going to sacrifice his son. But because he was willing, God gave him, there was a ram, and God gave him a picture of the wonderful sacrifice, didn't he, of the substitution that was going to happen in the future of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had no idea what an adventure he was on. Has God done that to you? Has he said to you, I know he did to Rich and I a long time ago, and we were faithful at the time. Has God said to you, I want you to get up and go? And if God says it every day, if God says it tomorrow, I want you to get up and go, would you go? Would you actually believe that it's God speaking to you? And would you go and do it? And then there's good old Jacob, which we all see ourselves in, Jacob the twister. Do you know, it always blesses me. It's in Genesis 28. He stole the birthright and ran away. And yet God gave him this incredible dream and blessed him with the blessings of Abraham and then added it on and said, behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I've done that which I have spoken to thee of. Such a faithful God. But look what Jacob had to go through in order to get to the end, in order to get to the day, in order to get to the day when actually he would bless Pharaoh one day and his name would be changed to Israel and he would wrestle with God. But he was a messed up man where his children were concerned, wasn't he? He messed up Joseph. He had grief thinking that Joseph was actually dead. We know he had the joy of seeing him again. But what a life. And he stood up in front of Pharaoh and he said, bitter and long have been these 130 years. He didn't have a great life, bitter and long, and they haven't been as long as my fathers before them. But out of this man came the 12 tribes of Israel, didn't they? Out of this man's loins. And he became Israel, a prince with God. And it makes you realise when you walk through this book with some of these men, and it's true of our lives, men see the outside, don't they? But God sees the inner choices that we make. He sees the struggles and all the things that go on. Other men and women just see us as we are. And all of these men and women that I'm talking about, God saw the inner struggles. He saw all that it took in order to do some of these things. He saw all of the questions. And if there's someone here who hasn't questioned what God is doing, then I don't think you're human. All of these things, this precious man. And then there's Moses. Do you know, and I never thought about it before, Moses ended up, he was a prince in Egypt, but we know he killed an Egyptian and he went to the wilderness for 40 years till he saw the burning bush. He didn't know he was going to have another 40 years in the wilderness with this tribe of complaining, moaning people. And if ever there was a man who, well, he got up every day and he was obedient to God. But he was an orator. He was a skilled man. that God took him to the place where he couldn't even speak anymore. Do you feel like that sometimes? You believe that God's given you a destiny to fulfill, and you see it being taken away little by little by little by little. But sometimes it's in order that God might really fulfill it in his way. You know, we start off, don't we, when he killed the Egyptian, he thought he was doing a great thing. He thought, actually, now the Jews will see. But actually, it wasn't the way God wanted it to do it. And then we find out, don't we, that they came out of Egypt. They came out of Egypt and they went for a walk, and then they found the promised land, and the spies went into the promised land. But they said, when they came back, we're too afraid to go. We can't go. And later on, they changed their mind and they said they would go. But do you know, it was too late. On that one day, when God said, would you go? It was too late after that. And they walked for another 40 years. And how many times in our lives are there decisions that might seem so unimportant at the time, but that actually radiate on down our lives for years and years and years after that? Sometimes when God says, today is the day, you go and do it. And we look and we say, oh no, but there are the giants in the land. Then we have to look at it from God's eyes, because you know what God saw? God would have got a great victory. They would never have walked in the promised land. But then we would have never have seen either how much of this wilderness experience is our experience, isn't it? How many times have we wandered around in circles because we haven't listened to God, or because we haven't done the things that God wanted us to do at the time? And how about David, the sweet singer of Israel? Started off as nothing, the least of his brothers, out with the sheep, not important at all. But actually, he was going to be king of Israel, and Samuel came and anointed him to be king of Israel. I wonder what his brothers thought. I wonder what he actually thought. He had no idea how long it would take for this to happen. He had no idea of all the conflicts that he would have with Saul. He had no idea of any of these things. But he also had no idea that he would be a man who was so loved by his men that they went, those three said that they would go back to the well at Bethlehem and they would get him a drink from the water. He was a loved man. They had no idea either that one day he would be a murderer and an adulterer. Had no idea that he would have a child that would die as a result of his sin. He had no idea either that he would bring the ark up, that there'd be the tabernacle of David, open access into the presence of the Lord, and he would dance before the ark as it was brought up. And he had no idea that God would say to him that he was a man after his own heart. So sometimes in the midst of all of this failures, and we know, don't we, that is it Nathan, I've forgotten his name now, came to him, and he had to put up his hand and he said, I am the man. He'd sinned so badly. And we know that God punished the people because of it. But actually, God loved David through all of these things that he went through. And what a man. And if we didn't have David, would we have the Psalms? Would we have some of these beautiful Psalms that we have? And how about Isaiah? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Isn't that what we would like a day when we walk into the house of God and we saw the Lord? And wouldn't it be worth it to have that coal on our tongues? And actually for the Lord to say go, and we to say, yes, I will go, send me. Just another day in a man's life. He'd been living all these days and just this one day. How about Job living a great life? Everything was blessed in the life of Job. Look how it all fell apart. He had no idea that that was ever going to happen to him. He had no idea that God was testing his faithfulness. Do you feel like that sometimes, that God has forgotten me, all around me is doom and gloom? But maybe God is saying, look at my servant, look at my servant. And how about having a conversation with God at the end? How about God never explained, but he came and he spoke to Job and he told him about all the... We watch The Blue Planet and it's great. Do you know, God told Job so many of those things. In the Word of God, these amazing things that God had created and made. How about Hannah when she cried out for a child? She never knew that she was going to have the great Samuel and there would be the school of the prophets. She never knew any of these things. It was just a day when she went up as any other day and she wept for a child. She had no idea. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, Zechariah never knew when he went in that day that God was going to speak to him and that the two of them would have this child, John. And how about the disciples? You and I, going about in our everyday business, fishing. And wasn't that like that with us? We were just going about our everyday business. And Jesus came and tapped them on the shoulder and said, follow me. And they followed him. And didn't Jesus do the same to you and me? And he came up one day and he tapped you on the shoulder, maybe many times before you said yes. And he said, follow me. And are you still following him? Not an easy life, but a wonderful life. How about the woman at the well? I've often thought about her. She was a sinner, five husbands, went out quietly when no one else was around because no one wanted to be around her. But Jesus did. Jesus looked this woman out. And you know, that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? It's just an ordinary day for all of the men and women who live around us. Just an ordinary day. But who are we to know when God is going to come to one of them and tap them on the shoulder and tell them everything about their life, but he will give them living water. So none of us know what our day will hold. None of us at all. And none of us know what the future holds. But God wants us to walk, I believe, every day, a day at a time. Next year is only made up of 365 days. It's not a leap year, is it? I can't remember. And tomorrow will be a day the same as today. In Psalm, I just want to read actually Psalm 90. My poor old Bible before it falls apart. It's Moses' prayer, and he says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it's past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep, and in the morning they're like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it's cut down and withered. Isn't that amazing that that is what our life is like to the Lord? And yet actually we are so precious to God. So precious that he cares about every hair on our head. He cares about every day that we live and every experience. For we are consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, many here, yet is their strength, labour and sorrow, for it's soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. This is the bit. So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. This is the time when they wouldn't go. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yes, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And do you know, there's a tiny verse which is one of my favourite verses, and it can be translated two ways, but I'm going to translate it this way. It's in Psalm 139, and it's been a very precious for all sorts of reasons. It's verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all the days ordained for me were written, when as yet there were none of them. Do you know, before you were born, God knew every single thing about you. He knew the length of your life, and he knew all the things that he had planned for you. And I don't believe that any of these men and women in this scriptures that we read about were actually any more important in their walk with God than you or I are. We're nothing. We're like the grass that withers. But we are so precious in God's economy. Do you know, when I was poorly, I watched a really silly Christmas story. You know, you watch these Christmas movies and they're usually about one woman with children and she meets man and Santa Claus, all this stuff. It was actually about a woman during the war. And she was suddenly translated into the future, like you do, to the same town that she was living in. And she was living there for a while, and there were actually people who remembered her because she still looked young, even though they were old. Anyway, eventually she went back to the past. But it wasn't until she went back that they realised how much that woman had done and how many lives she'd changed in her lifetime. And you know, none of us know in any day whose life we're going to change. And if there's no one's life we change in that day, what's the most important thing? That we love God and that we worship him. Actually, I can't remember now, I didn't write it down, but it's that we're to enjoy God. Do you know, God wants us to enjoy him. You know, he died upon that cross and he bore all of that to redeem your life, to redeem my life, to come and live within us, that we might enjoy every day with him. And there's a little verse in Hebrews and it says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as they did at the time." And in verse 13 it says, "Exhort one another while it is today." Brothers and sisters, today is a new day. Yesterday might have been horrible, the last year might have been horrible, but every day there is a new clean page. And God's grace is sufficient for us every single day. He is faithful every day. He cannot change. So today, might you hear, maybe you don't have any expectation. Maybe you're thinking, I've got to cook dinner and I've got these people around. But have you got a listening spirit, the ears of your spirit to hear a still small voice? Could you expect to see a burning bush and be told to take off your shoes for you're on holy ground? Could you hear a call to come up higher? Could you have a promise today? Could you know a promise fulfilled today? We want to live our lives as well lived. I realised actually doing this that sometimes we skirt around life. We're supposed to live life, live every minute of every day. And I believe the early Christians lived their life like it could be the last because Jesus could come back tomorrow. We don't do that anymore, do we? We live sometimes like we have all this time. But actually, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, do we? We don't know. And I think if we lived like that, maybe we would live more closely to the way that God wants us to live. So as we look to the future, you know, who knows if revival might break out this year, if we would see those drops of rain this year. That's what I'm looking for. I think sometimes, I don't know if it's your next generation, sometimes I feel that revival has become a bit of a dirty word. It's like in the future, always thinking about in the future. But actually, you think what revival would bring, and I have an expectation for this next year, you know. Kate said it earlier. I want everything that God has got for me, and things that I might not like, that I might not choose in this pick and mix, I want to allow God to do things in my life that will make me more like Jesus with them. And you know, there's a song that they sing in Saturday Club. Isla would know it. She's not gone to sleep. James would know it. And I had it on my heart in the night, actually. And this is the God we worship. God can do anything, anything at all. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him, building an ark. And nothing is too small, the still small voice. For God can do anything, anything at all. So what do we have to not do? Don't put him in a box. Don't shove him in the corner and never limit what God can do. So as we walk into the new year, Alan said it, Let's believe, actually, because I listen to Bishop in the morning sometimes on a Sunday. I have a cup of coffee, and in order to remember the time, I just put the radio on. And Bishop Centenu was speaking this morning, and they just asked for a word of hope for the future. And it was ever so precious, actually, what he said. He said, you know, we look round the world and we think there is no hope. That's what the world appears. But he said, we have hope because we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ, there is always hope. If we trust him and love him, there is always, always hope for the future. Who knows what God has for you? And who knows what God has for me? And who knows what God has for us as a fellowship? So let's walk into it with joy, actually, and see some of the things that God has promised to us fulfilled. And let's exhort one another while it's today. You know, we have a love for one another, but I pray God would increase it so much that we might be known as those who love the Lord in this place and around. So the Lord bless every one of you in this new year and the rest of today.